Shalom, אנחנו קוראים מתוך ספר פסח.
Hello, we are reading from the Passover booklet in the article Shamati 41.
Yeah, we will continue. We still have to finish this Passover booklet. Everything that's written here, we have to go through it at least once. So, let's continue.
In the Passover booklet from the articles of Shamati of Baal Salam, Article 41, What is Greatness and Smallness in Faith? It is written, And they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. We must know that the lights of Pesach, of Passover, have the power to impart the light of faith. Yet do not think that the light of faith is something small, since greatness and smallness depend only on the receivers. When one does not work on the path of truth, he thinks that he has too much faith. And with the amount of faith he has, he can dispense to several people, and then they will be fearing and whole.
We think that fear is the way we think of it, regular people think of it. I believe in this, I believe in that. We are not really aware that the faith that Campbell is referred to is a force against our ego that helps us rise above the will to receive, and that we, so that we will be above our will to receive. Faith is the force of Bina, the power in order to bestow, that is above Malchut, which is the will to receive. And then if we rise from Malchut to Bina, it's considered that we have acquired the power of faith. And this is why faith is the force that helps us rise above the will to receive, helps us begin to feel and understand and really grasp spiritual forces. Yes?
However, one who wants to serve the Creator in truth and constantly examines himself, if he's willing to work devotedly and with all your heart, he sees that he is always deficient in faith, meaning that he's always short of it.
He's always deficient of being more and more in order to bestow. This is what happens. And
only when one has faith,
meaning the strength to rise above his will to receive,
can one feel that he's always seated before the king. When one feels the greatness of the king, one can discover the love in two ways, in a good way and in a way of harsh judgments. Hence, the one who seeks the truth is the one who needs the light of faith. If such a person hears or sees some way to obtain the light of faith, he is happy as though he has found a great fortune. Hence, those people who seek the truth on the holiday of Pesach, which is capable of the light of faith, we read in the parasha, and they believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses, because then is a time that can impart that.
We too, let's hope, merit the connection that we are going towards, to be in the light of faith, to be equipped with the light of faith, to be furnished with it, and that way to advance. Basically, everything depends on how much light of faith we will be able to reveal on ourselves, to acquire And it all depends on how much we are included, immersed in the ten, each of us. This is what happens. To the extent that I annul before the ten, by this I draw through the ten, and it doesn't matter what ten, as long as I am annulled before the ten. So by that I draw on myself, I awaken on myself the light of faith. No questions. So we will go to
we'll go on to the next article in the Passover booklet. This is the article of Rabash. The Torah spoke regarding four sons. Again, it's in the Passover booklet. Article of Rabash, article 920. The Torah spoke regarding four sons. The Torah spoke regarding four sons. The whole Torah is only for the evil inclination. As our sages said, I've created the evil inclination, I've created the Torah as a spice. Therefore, he who does not know how to ask, open for him. We should understand what we should ask, and with what is it open for him. What is this gula, this power, this virtue, with which to open for one who does not know how to ask? The thing is that when there is an evil inclination, there is a need for the Torah. Hence, if one believes in reward and punishment, he can already observe the Torah and mitzvot, since he has a reward. Thus, he is not asking the wicked one's question, what does this work for you, when he has no evil, he has no need for the Torah. Hence, open for him. If you see that a person engages in Torah and mitzvot because he believes in reward and punishment, he is closed, meaning his evil is closed, concealed. For this reason, it is impossible to correct him, because one corrects only that which one sees.
Meaning, there has to be a revelation of the bad in him, where if he discovers that he has bad in him, to that extent he needs a Torah, otherwise he doesn't. If he feels like he is righteous and he just needs to add a little more, he doesn't need the Torah, because the Torah is a reforming light, and he's got nothing to reform. No evil. This is why a person is taught to work not in order to receive reward.
Hence, at that time, a person is taught to work in order not to receive reward. Then the wicked one comes and asks, what is this work for you? That is, what will we have if we work for the Creator without any reward? This is against our nature. We were born with a nature of delighting ourselves and not of delighting others without anything in return. At that time, a person needs the Torah, and then it can be said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. But if he has no evil inclination,
meaning it's not revealed. Everyone has the evil inclination, but it's not revealed. He didn't do something to reveal the evil inclination.
It means that the will to receive is not evident in him, for only this is called evil and nothing else.
And if it's not revealed, then he has no need for the Torah. He thinks he's righteous. Questions? None. Well, maybe this is all trivial, obvious, and there's nothing to ask here. I don't know. Oh, there is something here. Asia.
Rav Tov, Rav, if someone discovers to be immersed in the will to receive on his ego, does it mean that he's in a state of Egypt and then he requires the Torah? Thanks.
Ken?
Yes, of course. But if it's really so, in Egypt, you have a very long way from a state where we begin to see Pharaoh as good. He gives food, housing, all kinds of things. He covers this, that cover this world, that tend to people, to our ego, until we begin to discover that within us we have this Pharaoh, this power of the ego, and then it works against the Creator, and they clash, and don't let a person approach the Creator, and doesn't let us emerge from Egypt. So it's a process, a long one. All of this is Egypt. Within Egypt, a person begins to know Pharaoh very well as the Creator a little bit. Yes? That's it? We have BB UK.
Good day.
Can you tell us, please, is it possible to understand or to reveal when a certain friend in the group, out of a good desire, is trying to serve the Pharaoh and then spins all the other friends in that direction?
No, this can be. Anything can be, of course.
Can I understand if it's like this, if it's happening? Since, on the other hand, everything that's in a friend is what I see inside. It's my inner picture. Can I see such a thing? Can I identify it like this outside of me?
There is only one thing, as Rabash writes in the first 20 articles, where he gave us all the information about building the 10. If I do exactly what he writes there, then I advance correctly. That's it. You have no other tests. And being included in a 10, other than being included in a 10 and following what Rabash writes, only that. Okay?
Europa.
Yes, thank you.
Europe.
Раф, от чего зависит раскрытие зло человека? Это от его вклад в духовную работу.
What does the revelation of evil in a person depend on? Is a result of his investment in the spiritual work?
Yes, the revelation of the evil in a person depends on his investment in the 10. When he wants, as it is written, to be included with them, unite with them, and sees that he can't, he doesn't want to, he rejects it and repels it. So the force that repels him from connecting in the 10 is called the evil inclination.
Petach
Tikva 18.
No, Amnon.
Amnon, say something.
Sorry, my speakers. I wanted to ask, how does a person reveal his evil inclination when... How is it all of a sudden just revealed?
Toward your friends. When you can't connect to them, so that you think only about them. Rather, when you begin to think about them, you immediately feel that you're thinking, what will I get out of it?
But I feel that I am good with the friends. And I can even ask them, what, am I doing something? And get some kind of response. So how do I reveal all of a sudden that I'm bad?
Are you thinking about them or about yourself?
In my opinion, I'm thinking about them.
Wait a minute. Try to think. Are you disconnected from any benefit to yourself and are thinking only about the friends, or are you thinking about them? And still, what will I get out of it?
It's clear that I'm thinking about also...
The fact that it's clear, what is clear is that you have the evil inclination.
But I don't reveal this. How does a person reveal the evil inclination?
You don't discover it? Don't you feel that you're thinking of others in regard to yourself? What will I get out of it?
Yeah, but let's say I also think about myself, but I don't feel that I'm doing anything bad by this, that I have this evil inclination.
The fact that you think about every single act, whatever it is, in the group, you're thinking with regard to yourself, what will I get out of it? This is the evil inclination.
Even if I'm not aware of this?
No, you're aware. What does it mean you're not aware? You feel that you're thinking in regard to yourself about all those things. Right or wrong?
Yeah, but I don't feel any...
This is called the evil inclination. This is called the evil inclination. It doesn't necessarily mean that you want to harm them. The fact that you think, what will I get out of it, this is already called the evil inclination. Why? Because it prevents you from beginning to connect to the Creator, and this is why it's called the evil inclination. It's not called the evil inclination because you want to do harm, God forbid, to the friends. No, it's the evil inclination because it pulls you away from the Creator.
Basically, my thoughts about myself, is this evil inclination?
Yes. Yeah. Petach Tikva 19.
No, Tzvika, betach sham.
Well, Tzvika, right? Is he talking about something or not?
Yes, yes. I'm asking.
I can't hear it.
Can you hear me?
Now I do.
Is the evil inclination...
Are you speaking or not?
I'm speaking. Is the evil inclination something disqualified?
No. If you correct it, it's not disqualified. It's not wrong.
What does that mean? Can you explain it? What is that evil inclination? How to correct it?
To turn it to working in order to bestow upon others.
How do we do this? Can you explain?
Through work in the group and prayer to the Creator.
This is what I'm trying to ask. We're learning about this. It's this difficulty in this language. How can I correct the evil inclination through the masachim? How do we do this?
You still don't have the masachim, the screens.
No, I mean through the internet screens.
Oh, what's that got to do with any masachim?
I'll tell you, just like now, this 2 weeks ago, I was getting annoyed and irritated.
Nah, that's nonsense.
But how do I do the same thing through the screens?
No, that's totally irrelevant. We have to be get used to being distant, so we will have no choice. We'll have to work in this way. Do you think that tomorrow we'll return to our center? No.
I thought that we'll be cleaning the building for Passover.
No. And in general, first of all, recently you weren't coming anyway.
I was weak for 2 weeks. I was sick for 2 weeks.
Poor fellow. Yeah. No, I believe you. Don't I know you?
I thought there was the corona after the Congress.
Yeah, sure. And you were worried about us, right? So, I'm telling you totally seriously. We will not be able to resume our regular life for at least 6 months. maybe toward the next winter, but I don't think it'll change. But let's assume. Okay, so take into consideration that it'll take this long.
We never did such a thing. If Rabash was here, what would he do? You sat in the group. How are we supposed to do this right now through the internet lines?
You will do it because you have no choice, and the Creator probably wants us to behave this way, so that specifically by this we'll be able to develop our vessels of bestowal in the period called the Days of the Messiah.
This is something completely new.
Yes, this is what Baal HaSulam writes, that we are living in the last generation. So what's the problem?
No, it's okay. I'm just wondering, how are we supposed to do this?
We'll do it. What can we do? We have the rules, how we should behave, rise above our egos, unite as much as we can with the friends, tighten up the ten, turn to the Creator, ask Him to give us the strength to all those actions. That's it. We have the books, we have the articles, we have everything.
I wanted to ask, what about Tess? Are we not going to read anything from Tess? Study of the Ten Sefirot, it's possible to read something from it? Maybe half an hour in the morning?
Will you let me answer?
Yes, please, I didn't hear.
Thank you. Right now, I can't study Talmud Yisrael Sefirot. I look at the people on the screens. And I want, first of all, to strengthen them, to give them strength, to reinforce them, so they will feel that we are marching correctly toward our goal and we are certain that we are on the right path. And only after that, when all of us already have the habit, we'll return to the Talmud Yisrael Sefirot. The problem is, we are before Pesach, and I want to read many materials before Pesach, and you are interfering with our doing this. So, what is the article we should read now?
And the next article, Article of Rabash, concerning the Exodus from Egypt.
Good.
This is Article 933, concerning the Exodus from Egypt. Article of Rabash.
Yeah.
Our sages said that the story of the Exodus from Egypt should be said in a manner of question and answer. One who does not have anyone to ask him asks himself, what has changed, etc.
Meaning, all of our progress is through questions and answers.
We should interpret this. Story comes from the words, the heavens tell. The Exodus from Egypt means the liberation and redemption from the Klipot and the Sitra Achra.
From our egoistic will to receive.
Meaning to invoke the root of redemption and extend it.
This is called having to exert to awaken the root of redemption, the root of our emergence from our ego.
This matter is regarded as the heavens tell. Meaning that when one removes oneself from any worldliness, he can tell the praise of the Creator. Yet, in order for one to rise to heaven, his work is in a manner of question and answer. This is the meaning of the sons asking, since banim, sons, means havana, understanding, and reason and intellect, and they ask him.
In other words, he has many questions inside, from his mind, from his heart, from everything. It's all questions, questions, why, what for, how. There are four types of sons, four types of questions. Yes?
And one who has no sons, whose mind and reason have no questions, because
questions don't awaken in him then,
because he is pure in his reason and qualities.
Clean. He's got no aviyut, no thickness, no dirt, no nothing. A small person.
And he must evoke the questions by himself. As Baal Salam interpreted the words of our sages, I awaken the dawn, and the dawn does not awaken me. What has changed this night compared to all the other nights?
This is something else already. It's an addition. By this, he finished the first scrutiny. Now he's going to make the second scrutiny. What has changed this night from all other nights? Yes?
Night means the body, which is regarded as deficiency and darkness. Day means the soul, which illuminates the body. At that time, he asks, how has his body changed from the rest of the bodies of the nations of the world? For on all other nights, the bodies eat what they want without any scrutinies. Rather, whatever their hearts desire, they say, is in their favor. But this night, my body is limited in both thought and desire. The explanation is, we were slaves, and he delivered us.
Meaning, when we approach the Exodus from Egypt, there are several additional problems and questions. What are they?
That is, specifically through these limitations, we'll be able to emerge from exile. Precisely by seeing the changes and ascents and descents each time, by struggling, a place of prayer awakens. And then the words, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry went up, came true. If the exile is revealed in full, then begins the redemption.
In other words, if the exile is revealed, this we should point out, if the exile is revealed to the fullest, then begins the redemption. Meaning redemption cannot happen unless we have completely revealed our exile, that we are in exile, that we are immersed in our egoistic will to receive, and it controls us, and we can't get out of it whatsoever. When do we come out of Egypt? When we come to a state where I am buried here, I can't get out. And the children of Israel sighed from the work. He raises his hands, he lifts them up and says, that's it, I cannot get out. At that moment, if I still... But I have to, even though I can't. And I have no chance. Then redemption begins. Yes?
This shows us the order of exile and redemption that took place in Egypt at that time. And this is the order we must extend through the end of correction.
Today as well. Okay, friends? If you want to ask, you may ask. You don't want to. Okay. Who is Petah Tikva 32?
Hello.
Hello. The question is, what does it mean that I'm totally under, that I say that I'm totally under my will to receive, or totally under the control of the Creator, because it's the same governance?
No, mister, you're asking out of your mind. You're too smart. But the smartness won't help you. Because the will to receive that you feel that you're in it, this is truly the Pharaoh. It's opposite of the Creator. You cannot say that the Creator is doing this to you. You cannot say that. Because you hate the state. The moment you hate it, you cannot feel and say out of this revelation that this is the Creator. Кавказ?
Здравствуйте, Раб. У меня такой вопрос. Нам приходится работать, когда мы распространяем на двух линиях, на двух уровнях. И это не очень-то легко. У вас огромный опыт. Может, подскажете, как правильно работать? То есть мы работаем на уровне аудитории, на уровне, то есть уроков и группы.
Ну, а жма бая.
Well, what's the problem? You need to discern it exactly. You have children?
Yes.
Great. If you have children, then you know that you speak to adults in one way and to children in a different type of language. In their own language, this is the same way here. You speak to the friends and with me in one language, language of Kabbalah, the inner work, and together with this, you speak with the people on the outside that are ready to hear from you what's happening today, what needs to happen, where we're advancing to. But there's beginners. With them, you speak with like little children. Take my first books, those first three books that I wrote, maybe not even three, maybe just two, and start to speak in this way. There's a lot of materials. We have a lot of materials that's intended for this general public. That's how it is, but careful not to confuse them. Only small things. Whatever is suitable for children.
Rav, this cry out to the Creator, does it happen all at once? Or is for each degree that a one person feels, oh, I hate, I'm completely immersed in my will to receive? Or is an accumulated process where then I cannot take it anymore?
It's an accumulative process that accumulates within a person that is working within the 10, but it happens to him personally.
Урал Сипказ.
Good day, Rav. Thinking of myself as bad is something I can feel, but thinking of the friend tastes like straw. It's tasteless. What should I do in that state?
I didn't understand it. Please repeat.
Я могу почувствовать, что думать о себе — это зло. Но вот думать о товарищах, у меня нет вкуса в этом.
I can understand that thinking of myself is bad, feeling it. But I have no taste in thinking about the friends, and I don't know what to do. I'm hung between the two states, between thinking of myself as bad or the tastelessness in thinking about the friends.
You need to think more about the system. That if you want to bestow, to speak to the Creator, you can do this only through the 10. Only through the 10. Like it's written, I dwell amongst my nation. You cannot relate to him in a different way or speak to him. Even to think about him. Because if you think about something that is within the 10, then you're thinking about the Creator. If it's something outside of the 10, not connected to the 10, then it's not the Creator, it's just an imagination. Okay. Good. What else do we have to do?
We have the article of Rabash, the duty to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. The other article is the more one speaks of the Exodus from Egypt.
Okay, so let's talk about the duty to tell of the story of the Exodus from Egypt, please.
Rabash recorded notes, assorted notes, article, the duty to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Even if we are all wise, we are commanded to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. We should say that although we have already acquired the Torah and understanding, we must still invoke the roots of the emergence of the people of Israel from the exile of Pharaoh. This is so because the most important is the emergence from the klipa, shell, and the entry into kedusha, holiness. The rest of the degrees are considered cause and consequence. Hence, we must glorify and praise the Creator for this. And by this, extend joy in all the worlds. This means that by feeling the preciousness and importance of freedom from the klipot, shells, to that extent, the joy increases. To the extent that we have joy, to that extent, we can glorify and praise. This is why each year we must awaken the root, as is explained in the Zohar portion Bo, the explanation why we do not eat matzah, unleavened bread, throughout the year. It explains that it is like a king who made one of his servants a minister. On that day he wore princely attire, but later he took off his princely attire. That is, only on that day, when he was anointed as a minister, he wore princely attire, so as to show his joy. Likewise, each year on the same day, he celebrates and wears his princely attire. For this reason, we eat matzah specifically on Passover. And the same can be said about telling the story of the Exodus from Egypt.
Well, nonetheless, as a root and branch, we need to do this action. We learn that towards the spiritual world, which is called the roots, there are phenomena from it in the corporeal world called branches. It's like we draw this tree of ours, roots above, branches below. And therefore, in this way, also according to the root of time, the time of Passover, that's the root is the in order to receive, and then there is the flower and the source, and that we will make this whole holiday, all of these symbols, in such a way that we're aiming to the upper roots, upper roots, but we are doing it in the corporeal branches, and we need to do this also in the year. In the year meaning according to time, movement, place. And when we do this soon in the Passover Seder, we'll talk about it. What is the Exodus from Egypt? We'll do everything here, meaning where I'm sitting, we'll do it here, and we'll explain to everyone what are all these symbols. What do they tell us? And the next article.
Next article, the more one speaks of the exodus from Egypt. The more one speaks of the exodus from Egypt, the better. We should understand why we should speak so much about the exodus from Egypt, to the point that they said that the more one speaks of it, the better. Also, we should understand what is said. Each generation, one must see oneself as though he came out from Egypt. It is known that there is nothing to add in the light, but rather in the kelim, vessels. Hence, more pertains to the kelim, which pertains to the lack of sensation of exile. When one comes to feel the exile, he feels that he himself is in Egypt. In such a state, how can he praise the exodus from Egypt while he is in Egypt? This is the meaning of one must see himself as though he came out from Egypt. It is as Bala Sulam said, in the future, end of correction, the righteous will sing, then Moses will sing, etc.
Meaning that we need to speak about the exodus from Egypt even when we're still within Egypt, within the desire to receive. We nonetheless need to aspire to see ourselves as if we're coming out of the desire to receive, as if we already came out of Egypt, rising above it. And then this whole story of the exodus from Egypt, that we need to explain it and talk about it, this expression is like a prayer, and that by this we pull ourselves as if to come out. Vienna.
אין לכם שאלה?
You don't have a question?
טוב, תמחקו אותם.
Okay, then erase the question mark. What else are we doing?
There is a question from Petach Tikva 24.
Okay, let's see. Petach Tikva 24.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Rav, I'd like to, if you could elaborate, what it means as if we came out of Egypt.
As if, meaning we have not yet exited, but through this that we depict to ourselves as if we're coming out of Egypt, aspiring to this, then it's like a prayer. And by this we awaken upon us the light that reforms, and it draws us out.
Is this related to what you said many times, that we have to see the friends in the complete state, everyone in the complete state, in dvekut, adhesion, as if after all the
yes, but after there's even more by this that we're speaking about, that we need to speak more and more about the exodus from Egypt. Why? What's in it? By this you draw the light, you want to come out, you as if pray, you reveal the deficiency, and this truly draws you out. Read it again, please.
Again, the more one speaks of the exodus from Egypt, the better. We should understand why we should speak so much about the exodus from Egypt, to the point that they said, the more one speaks of it, the better.
Yeah, what's the praise in this?
Also, we should understand what is said. Each generation, one must see oneself as though he came out from Egypt.
As if he came out in Egypt. He didn't yet come out. He's still within the generation. He's still within the recognition of evil, but we need to talk about the exodus from Egypt. Why?
It is known that there is nothing to add in the light, but rather in the kelim, vessels. Hence, more pertains to the kelim, which pertains to the lack of sensation of exile.
meaning that it will awaken the deficiency to come out of Egypt through the story.
When one comes to feel the exile, he feels that he himself is in Egypt. In such a state, how can he praise the exodus from Egypt while he is in Egypt? This is the meaning of one must see oneself as though he came out from Egypt.
As if.
It is as Bala Sulam said, in the future, end of correction, the righteous will sing. Then Moses will sing, etc.
That has not yet happened to them, but they're still singing and aspiring to that state that needs to come to them. Okay, Moti? Okay, let's hope that yes. Baltia?
Добрый день, Раф. У меня такой вопрос.
Good day, Rav. I have this question. Prayer and acting. Must there be acting within the prayer? I heard it, and I'd like you to explain it a little more regarding prayer and acting.
Yeah, the prayer is a type of acting. You can pray about things that you still don't aspire for, that you don't quite care about them. But it's like a child, you know, that's just nagging and give me, dad, come on. That's how they ask, you know, it's just like that. But at the end of the day, you give it to him. Why? Because this is how you're built, that you cannot hear this from him. And finally, you just... And finally, you give in. Same thing here. That even if we don't really want and are not really in it, but we still nonetheless need to ask. Ask all the time. I wish they would pray all day. That's it. So there are such wise guys of us from us that are saying, no, how can I ask if I don't have a strong request? And that I don't have, that I still don't have the true deficiency. It doesn't matter that you don't have the true deficiency. It doesn't matter that you don't have a strong request, that you still are not really, really in this tension. Ask even with what you have. However it will be. Also ask. That's it. North America One.
Hi, Rav. There's a push in America now to restart the economy, saying it's not worth sacrificing the economy for a few lives. We want to ask, what do you think about that right now, about putting the economy before saving people?
This will not help. This will not help. Now this or that. Oh, this whole economy will need to fall, and will fall hard, because this entire modern economy, 70-80% of it, is a corrupted economy, which is not an economy, but it's just... It has no need. There's no need for it. And we just do this because in order to let everyone to profit. But why? Because we love money in such a way. The economy is what we're creating for things that are necessary for life. But if it's not necessary for life, then it's not called the economy. It's luxuries that you make them in order to throw them out. You understand? So it will not help. You understand that there are such stores like presents. You enter there and there's nothing there that what are these called? And these types of stores. Let's say right now there's a problem with a virus. There's no point in even opening such stores. Nobody will enter there because nobody needs this. People need food. They need something that's urgent, that's necessary for existence. And for this is called economy. And what's beyond necessities for existence, the virus will erase this. It will not allow them to these things to exist. Also, even like this, we were just a bubble after a bubble in this economy that just wasn't rational. And we will feel in ourselves to what extent that this whole bubble of the economy, of the modern economy, how much this bubble is bursting. That's why China, United States, Europe, they will greatly suffer and fall and will need to remove all of this excess fat from their economy. People will need to be satisfied by things that are necessary for life, and not that they will create in the world all these other things. For what? Because the air is already not air, and the water is not water, and life is not life anymore, and nature already doesn't agree to this. The system will not allow us to exist in that way anymore. That's it. We will need to get rid of all of the surplus that's unnecessary. And I hope that this coronavirus will cleanse us from all the garbage. This is what will happen. Also, in this way, we spoke about this all the time and wrote about it, about the crisis that needs to happen and pass, and are waiting it. Therefore, what needs to be? So we take all these dollars that you printed and start to burn them little by little. Leave to the economy whatever belongs to a person. How much people need to eat, to drink, for them to have an apartment, all the normal things. Nothing besides this. This is how we'll reveal ourselves, discover ourselves after the crisis. Either it will be after this virus, or after the next virus, or after a world war. But this is how it will be nonetheless. Either we do it in a way that's rational right now, and let's pray that it will happen.
North America. North America 1.
North America 1.
Dear Rav, we understand that the other system of the economy is outdated, but we've learned together that the economy is a reflection of our relationships. So how do we breathe life into the new economy? How do we give it strength and so we don't wait for another virus to do so?
You guys do it instead of the virus. You need to lower the economy until you provide to everyone in society what he needs. Nothing besides this. Simply, not even a gram, not even an additional gram, just like animals. We, in a corporeal way, need to exist like animals. Let everyone have a house, some kind of a normal living, and everything that we need for children. try to see the economy in this way. How many will need to work? Today we'll sit in, because the virus, will sit at home, and we'll get used to that. No one really needs to work. Or maybe a few hours a day we'll need to work, and not more than this. You see what's happening in the world? Right now, we're already beginning to descend from everything that was. From what, 10, 15 hours a day? We used to work. We used to drive 2 hours in traffic, 2 hours back. And at work, you used to work 8, even more hours. Now, it won't be like this. You'll have 2-3 days to work, 5-6 hours a day, let's say, and all the rest. Another 2-3 days you'll learn. You learn how to build the right society, how to be a spiritual person, to reach the importance of spirituality, because it gives you the feeling of eternality. And you feel that you have an eternal world in front of you, not just to die. The animal will die, but your spirit will continue. So invest half of the week in this and the other half in that. We will change life. There's no choice. Nature will obligate us. You'll see how it's happening. We spoke about this already many years ago. Today it's being realized. We need to tell about these things to everyone, and little by little, that humanity will start to see these things it will be more accustomed to this. That it's normal, that it's closer to this. It will agree to this. They'll have an easier transition to the new life. Let's read from the excerpts. Excerpt 11.
We are reading from the excerpts from the building of the future society. Excerpt number 11.
כמו שופט בעל מקצוע, מענישנו על פי התחשבות עם התפתחותנו.
Nature, like a skillful judge, punishes us according to our development. For we can see that to the extent that humankind develops, the pains and torments obtaining our sustenance and existence also multiply. Thus, you have a scientific, empirical basis that His providence has commanded us to observe with all our might the mitzvah commandment of bestowal upon others in utter precision, in such a way that no member from among us would work any less than the measure required to secure the happiness of society and its success. As long as we are idle, performing it to the fullest, nature will not stop punishing us and take its revenge. And besides the blows we suffer today, we must also consider the drawn sword for the future. The right conclusion must be drawn that nature will ultimately defeat us, and we will all be compelled to join hands in following its commandments with all the measure required of us. Baal HaSulam, the peace.
I think that it's worth reading it again and to understand what he's saying.
Again, excerpt number 11 from Baal HaSulam, the peace. Nature, like a skillful judge, punishes us according to our development. For we can see that to the extent that humankind develops, the pains and torments obtaining our sustenance and existence also multiply. Thus you have a scientific, empirical basis that His providence has commanded us to observe with all our might the commandment of bestowal upon others in utter precision, in such a way that no member from among us would work any less than the measure required to secure the happiness of society and its success. As long as we are idle, performing it to the fullest, nature will not stop punishing us and take its revenge. And besides the blows we suffer today, we must also consider the drawn sword for the future. The right conclusion must be drawn that nature will ultimately defeat us, and we will be able to compel and we will be compelled to join hands in following its commandments with all the measure required of us.
Well, let's hope that we'll continue tomorrow and we'll understand more of what he's writing. And in the meantime, a song.
Your soul, this is a message from above.